2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Dota into DFS pros.
Welcome back to the DFS Army Bold Calls Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Allen, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek, and I've got my partner in crime, my number one, Season Long Says, on the line with me. What's up, Season Long Says?
How are you, my friend? Very much looking forward to this one. It's been a little bit.
Hell yeah. So, yeah, since our last pod, obviously that was well before the preseason, well before any games had started, a little bit before training camp. And a little bit of the point, I think, of today is what I'd like to kind of go over with you is what's changed? You know, how are you shifting your rankings? How am I shifting my rankings, which have shifted quite a bit in some areas, since the start of the preseason, since information started coming out, since some injuries have happened, and so on and so forth? I'm going to start this off with a hot take. Okay, you ready for this?
Please.
All right, I've got a hot take, and this is some clarity from just 2 weeks into really what is the preseason. And my hot take is, outside of Saquon Barkley, I don't think any of the other rookie running backs is really going to produce even certainly RB1 type numbers and potentially even RB2 type numbers this season. What do you think of that hot take?
That certainly is a hot take. I think there's definitely some shine has come off the rookie running backs outside. We're not going to include Barkley in this because we're going to put him in the first round. We're going to be happy to draft him in the top six picks, and that's that. But after looking at the first preseason game, I'm higher on Royce Freeman than I've been in a long time. Hmm. I think that people drafting in September are going to end up taking him in the third round. I really believe that he will be the workhorse guy there. Devontae Booker won't go away, but he'll just be relegated to a pass-catching third down back. I still think Royce Freeman has a chance to be very productive as a rock-solid two, and maybe even, who knows, if things break his way with touchdowns, number one. So outside of Royce, I think I'm with you that the shine has been taken off.
I want to like knock every single one of them. But for Royce, my main thing is I think what you're going to get is C.J. Anderson type numbers from the last couple of years, which really weren't knock your socks off numbers at all. You know, Anderson, even when he was there sort of in the premier role, he'd be splitting time with Ronnie Hillman at one point, or I don't even know if it goes back to the No'Shawn Moreno days, but as far as I've seen, the Broncos just will not run a single running back out there as a bell cow. So, you know, even in the best case... I do think their offense will be better. Go ahead.
I was going to say is that what the good news is that there's still a few rookie runners that have a chance to break as a top 15, top 20 running back, but a couple injuries have to happen. And Kerryon Johnson looked amazing in the preseason against the second teamers, the Detroit Lions rookie running back. They actually moved up in the second round to get him. He went earlier in the real draft than I thought he would. But he certainly is a good running back, and it only takes a couple injuries, but it's priced in. You don't have to take Kerryon Johnson in the third, fourth round. He's going in the fifth to seventh round, and the same thing with some of the other guys. That risk is priced in. So I still think a couple of them have a chance to bust, and their ADPs have come down.
K-Jo going seventh round. Let's see here.
He's going in the 5-6 turn in the last. I pulled up some ADPs from MFL and draft.com over the last 4 days, ever since he had that good preseason game. We're recording this on August 14th, I believe.
Today's the 15th, man. Wake up.
15th. Sorry. he's moved up. I think people are getting aggressive on him. The problem is, but Garrett Blunt is probably still the goal line back, and Theo Riddick is one of the better pass-catching backs. So if you're drafting him, expecting him to start in week one as a between the 20s sort of runner, I think that's a problem. But I still think he has a chance. A couple injuries. Theo Riddick has not always been the epitome of health, you know.
No, I mean, but this is a problem. The way that Detroit, I want studs. I want players that are going to produce. I want players that are going to get, especially at the running back position, I want players that are going to get the opportunities. And you're talking about a team that has no problem deploying a dreaded triple stack RBBC. You know, we saw what happened with Amir Abdullah, even when they tried to feature him. And obviously he sucks, so that didn't help. Like, the talent, not there. But when they tried to feature him, even that, they still bring out some fatty for the goal line. They still bring in the third down pass catching guy. So you end up with a running back who's only getting yards between the 20s. I don't want that. I'll take a pass catcher. I'll give you some names I like more than that that will blow your mind. But I want to go through this whole thing. Like, you give me a Kerryon Johnson between the 20s, going to get you 70 yards, no touchdown, like what Frank Gore produced the last couple years. I'll take pass catching third down backs over that. And I have a sneaky one. I don't want to say the name, because before I say that name, I'm going to give you a I want to attach it to a dropper for me.
Okay.
The dropper for me, Joe Mixon. Now you're going to say, what the fuck?
You're saying Mixon is moving down your board, like you're.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm dropping him off the board.
So where are you taking Mixon right now? Where's the spot where you're taking Mixon? And then obviously you got to tell me why, because I have him moving the other direction.
I'm going to give you some current ADPs off of, one of the more accurate ADP sites. Now, this is not exclusively best ball leagues. This is
We're in season long now. Yeah, I'm talking about when you put your money down, you put your $100 in, you put your $200 in your season long league. Who are you taking? And you're saying you're not taking Mixon in the early third.
Mixon currently is, I'll tell the area where he's in. He's sandwiched as an ADP. He's at pick 2.06 at this moment. Sandwiched between Devontae Freeman, Christian McCaffrey, ahead of Jerick McKinnon, Alex Collins, and a couple of other names.
Well, I mean, that's exactly that's where I have him also. I mean, that's where I'm seeing him. Okay. That's where I think he belongs right now. But why are you lower on him now? Why are you moving him down?
The idea that Mixon is going to be a bell cow on this team, going to get, 70-80% of the touches and just be spelled, I don't think is reality. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why. Number one, you've got a Bengals team that's hashtag not good. Okay, we can agree on that.
I'm not sure. I mean, what's their Vegas under-over? Their Vegas under-over is like... Is seven games? I mean, they're not a playoff team, but
they're not a good. They're not a winning team, right? I mean, they're going to be losing.
The offense is good. I mean, Andy Dalton's competent QB. He's not a guy that's in danger of losing his job. AJ Green is still a top eight wide receiver in the league. John Ross is finally going to get a shot.
No, stop it! Stop it with John Ross. Enough. He had one snap last year. He sucks.
One snap.
He sucks. I don't believe it. Prove it.
I don't think. John Ross. He's basically a rookie right now. We haven't seen him play. I mean, you know how many catches did John Ross have last year? I kind of gave it away already.
One. I mean, I don't know.
Zero. Zero. Zero
catches.
He didn't get a chance last year.
All right. Let me throw up my half PPR ranking, because I was looking at the wrong ranking just now. I'm like, why the hell is freaking?
Get back to Mixon. I want to hear your take on
Mixon. All right.
So Mark,
I have a hot take on this. Now, people are forgetting that Gio Bernard is there, and he's going to get a timeshare with this guy. It's going to be a 60-40 mix. You're not going to see Joe Mixon out there 80% of the time. It's going to be, he'll probably be out there a little bit more. It'll be a 60-40. It'll be like the old days of Eddie Lacy and James Starks or the old days of Hill and Gio Bernard. Even when Hill was there as the bell cow, It was Bernard who was putting up a lot of fantasy points with fewer touches, because they bring him in during the most advantageous to the running back situations. And this comes back around to what I said about running between the 20s. Give me a guy who's going to get six receptions at the running back position, and I'll take him over a guy who's going to run for 70 yards and pray for a touchdown. I'll take the guy with 6 receptions, 60 yards, give me that 12 points, and if some miracle happens and he gets in the end zone, awesome.
Yeah, I'll cede to you that Gio Bernard is definitely one of the best pass-catching backs in the league. He's not just some guy that's going to come in and spell Mixon. He's going to have a certain role, but Mixon is really good, and he catches passes. I don't know if you saw the preseason game. I know it's only a sample of one.
He
lined up out wide. He wasn't out of the backfield. He caught a touchdown lining up wide. It was a great catch. This is Joe Mixon that we saw in the college level. I believe Mixon, that's probably why he moved up. He was going at the very end of the second round in most 12-team drafts or beginning of the third. He's firmly moved up a little bit. I mean, that's what the preseason does. You flash, you show a great play. I think that Mixon's appropriately priced right now. Who would you take, him or Jerick McKinnon right now?
I'm going to take McKinnon ahead of him.
I've moved McKinnon down a lot, and he's one of my fallers, and we'll talk about him. I actually have McKinnon right now priced in the fourth round.
Wow.
Which means I'm not going to get him.
That is a massive... massive drop off for McKinnon.
I don't want to start shooting bullets all over the place here. I can briefly explain why.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about risers and fallers.
Yeah, well, McKinnon had a calf strain, right? So they've already said that he is not going to be playing in the preseason. That's a major red flag for me. Some people have pointed out, well, if he was really hurt, he would have had surgery. But a calf strain is one of those things that could literally bulldoze you. Ask Victor Cruz what happened after he had a calf strain. He never really came back.
Victor Cruz was on like surgically repaired crazy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about it started off as a calf strain.
Yeah.
Calf strain is one of those things where you could be in practice sprinting. It feels good. You're running up and down. Then you get the game, and it really just gives out from under you. For anyone who's had a calf injury, it is a major problem just for a regular man working in a job. Now talk about a guy that's got to be the workhorse running back for a team.
Hold up a second, okay? Because I consider myself a regular man working at a job. Are you saying sitting on my ass all day at this computer where I don't actually stand up but once or twice a day to take a leak, that a calf strain would affect my workmanship?
Well, we all know that that's an elite job. I'm talking about real men at work in ditches and dig holes and walk police beats and run into burning buildings. No, the real men.
You're talking about real men, not like us.
Not
a geek that sits behind a computer screen. All right. I wanted to clarify that.
But that said, it's just – I'm not saying that he won't be fine. I'm just saying that there's enough risk there to start taking some of those early third round guys. I'll take Jordan Howard ahead of him at this point, just because I don't want to start off and take a guy in the second round. I need my second round pick to pan out. I don't mind a little risk and a little upside, but a guy that's starting off hurt that's going to miss the whole preseason, I got to move him down. The first two or three rounds, I'm trying to minimize risk.
You know, it's a reminder when these players get hurt, or especially these soft tissue injuries, it's a reminder that these guys get hurt. McKinnon has a history. You know, he's not exactly he doesn't have a history of extreme health. Like, this is a guy who's kind of shown that maybe
extreme production. Yeah. He hasn't really done it yet. He's all potential.
Yeah, that's right. And maybe potential is a bit high to stretch for in the second round. Maybe we want to try to concentrate on somebody who's done it before, like Alex Collins.
Yeah, totally. And just one more thing on that. And they also, the 49ers signed Alfred Morris this week, and he has produced for Shanahan before. When he was that was his 1,600-yard season under Shanahan when he was on the Redskins.
No,
I'm not saying Alfred Morris is the same guy he was 5-6 years ago. All I'm saying is that Alfred Morris comes in, knows the Shanahan system, and is now the most stout, the biggest back. If he makes the 53-man roster, I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes their short yardage back. So, again, it's just another concern. It's not like I don't like Jerick McKinnon. It's just all these things are now adding up. For me, it pushes him into the late third, early fourth.
All right. So, you know, that brings up this general part of the draft. I'm just not getting down with LeSean McCoy bandwagon. I don't care what happens with his ADP. I'm being weird about it. I have a sense that he will be suspended. And
so You and I talked about that on another podcast, and we went through all that. I'm starting to think now, and I want to hear why, but I'm starting to think he won't be suspended. We haven't heard a word about it. It could be in the NFL. It seems to be one of those things where it could happen next year. And the price is right now on McCoy. It's the third round, so you have to decide if you want a 250 carry guy in the third round. Those usually don't exist.
You know, in daily fantasy, I have this thing where when I look at a player and my first reaction is meh, right? You know how sometimes you look at a player and you're like, meh, I don't want anything to do with that. Then I have my secondary. Then my daily fantasy sports like head pops in and I go, you know, if I'm thinking meh, there's probably a lot of other people thinking meh right now about this guy too. And maybe that means I should give it a second thought and really look at it like, well, maybe my sort of milquetoast reaction to that player name, I need to remove that cognitive bias from my approach. Now, of course, in daily, we only have to deal with that for one lineup. And I have a whole bunch of those for week one, but that's for a different pod. But, you know, the prevailing wisdom with LeSean McCoy is meh. You know, he's got that legal thing over his head. Plus, he's had a lot of yardage. Plus, he's on a terrible team. He's a running back on a team that's going to lose a shitload of games. That's the last thing I want to get involved with. So, I mean, my even at this spot, I can't get too excited about a guy who's going to be on a 4-win team, which is what I expect from Buffalo.
But he's the only guy there. I mean, the receivers are who the heck knows. The quarterback is going to be a problem there. I mean, of course, it all could pan out, but they are going to feed LeSean McCoy. So let me ask you this. If you're picking at the end of in the 9, 10, 11, 12 spot and you end up with two receivers, let's just say, for example, you start off your draft with DeAndre Hopkins and Davante Adams because those are the best players on the board or any sort of combination of those.
Yeah, I know this spot where you come back around on 3-12, 4-1.
Right, and then it's you're choosing between these running backs. You're choosing, like, now at this point of the draft, you're like, okay, I need to jump in on a running back. Kenyon Drake's already gone, so you're looking at, like, Derek.
No, that's my guy. Don't take my guy.
Well, I'm giving you a situation. Let's say somebody likes Drake just as much as you as in BPR, jumps up, grabs him. So now you're sitting there, and LeSean McCoy's on the board, and you're looking at him, Alex Collins, and Derrick Henry. Which one? You're on the clock. You have 5 seconds left on the clock. It's turned red. Who you taking?
I'm taking Collins right there over LeSean McCoy.
Okay, well, then that's fair. Then you're truly standby. Yeah. What I'm saying is that McCoy is probably in that range. Like you're not going to get a guy. You're not going to get a player that is locked in for 250 touches if he stays healthy. At that range normally. Even Alex Collins is probably more like a 210.
Yeah, he'd be a 200 touch guy. I think Alex Collins can show some improvement, but
he's good.
I don't think he needs to show skill improvement. I just think he could show usage improvement because they, you know, it was one of those situations with the Ravens where they figured out late in the season that, oh yeah, this guy's pretty good. You know, and like it took to the last few games, and then and the other guy who had that same situation for me is Kenyon Drake, which is why I like both of them. At this area, I would hope to be able to, in my perfect world, if I had gone, you know, OBJ, Julio Jones in the first round in that.
That's a good start. Good start.
You know, so it's 112, 2.1, and I said, fuck this. I'm going wide receiver, which I won't. But, I mean, it happened to me once where I got Hopkins and Julio or Hopkins and some other stud. I must have had pick 9 or something. And I'm like, oh, shit, all right, let me try one league like this where I take two wide receivers. And you are scrambling for quality talent at the running back position, you know, for the rest of the draft. But yeah, it's the names I like in this range, and I prefer Alex Collins. Listen, if you had to take LeSean McCoy, I'd hold my nose. I'm not touching Derrick Henry. I don't get his ADP. I'm not anywhere near that. I'd rather get someone like Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny you bring up Ajayi. This is probably an appropriate time. It's like Carson Wentz may not be ready for week one. And Alshon, we talked about this on our very first podcast.
He's one of my droppers, Alshon, because of that health issue.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I want to get into the detail. But he is a serious candidate to end up on PUP. And for those of you who aren't familiar, PUP is physically unable to perform list. And that means you're mandatory out for weeks 1 through 6. And I think it's heading that direction. Nelson Aguilar's also banged up. I think that the receiving options outside of Zach Ertz are a real problem, and Jay Ajayi, who is a committee back, could end up being one of those guys in the first 4 weeks of the season where you're like, holy shit, I never even thought about Jay Ajayi, and now he's tearing up the league.
Yeah, Ajayi is tricky. It's a committee back situation. It's a little different with Philly. Their offense is very interesting. They get a lot of rushes on that team. Like, they just run a lot of plays. And I know it's not the Chip Kelly version, but they run a lot of plays. Like, their offense can support a couple of running backs because Ajayi could get 18 carries as a committee back or 20.
It's the head coach is Doug Peterson, and I put him in that. I mean, I put him at the top, not in the category. I put him at the top of the NFL coaches list. Bill Belichick is probably still the best coach, but Sean McVay of the Rams, head coach, and Doug Peterson are probably two and three. He comes from this innovative thinking of when to go on fourth down, when to punt, when not to punt.
Yeah, I love that.
And what's funny is, it's the funny quick story about the Eagles head coach, Doug Peterson, is, he was the backup quarterback forever in Green Bay behind Brett Favre. And the joke was every year, he was always on a one-year contract, was the GM would call Doug Peterson and say, hey, do you want to come back? Because I can't get another backup QB. Nobody wanted to sign there because, as you know, Brett Favre never missed a game in his career, I think until the very end, if at all. So when you signed up to be the backup QB, you knew you were never playing. So Doug Peterson was always the go-to guy for the GM there. He would sign him the one-year deals all the time. I thought that was a pretty funny, interesting tangent.
He had a lot of extra time to learn the game. Sitting, I think the backup quarterback for Green Bay is like the best job in the world.
A million-dollar clipboard holder, man. Yeah, it's like a big job.
Hey, try being Drew. Who's that guy? Drew, not Drew Bledsoe. The guy, he was on Arizona. Arizona's backup quarterback last year. What was his name?
Backup quarterback?
Yeah, he wanted to be a starter. He was on the Jets at one point.
Drew Stanton?
Yeah, Drew Stanton. Yeah, he's made his rounds.
He's been an active. He's on a team now. I just saw him in the preseason. I forget. I don't have it in front of me, but I think he's still. Who was that? It's funny. You're talking about backup quarterbacks. Do you remember that backup quarterback a couple years ago when the Lions were the 0-16 team that he stepped out of bounds in the end zone? It was like so obvious. Like he took a shotgun snap and the quarterbacks kind of take their drops. He dropped back 3 feet and it was an automatic safety. That's when the Lions were a mess, man. That was one of my favorite.
You're going back a long way. That must have been before.
Within the last seven.
Yeah.
Like the last seven. Yeah, maybe a little bit longer.
My memory. All right, let's jump back to risers and fallers. So let's look at a couple more guys. So I think the general consensus is a lot of these rookies, Ronald Jones Jr., major drop.
You and I talked about this a while ago. The Peyton Barber thing is real. Even though he's considered just a guy, he's one of these players that coaches love. And the beat writers, Elliot Crist, I believe, is the guy. I'm not sure. I follow him on Twitter. It's either him or another guy. And they talk about Peyton Barber all the time. They're at all these practices. And they say that Peyton Barber is a guy coaches love. He's getting the majority of carries. And Ronald Jones just has to learn how to pass block and learn the NFL system. This is not uncommon for rookies. Ronald Jones.
There was hope when you have a guy drafted end of the first, early second round. There's this hope that, like, hey, team's not going to sit this guy. He's a running back. It's a position you could pick up very quickly in the NFL. It's not like a wide receiver, not like a tight end where it takes a little more time. Usually running backs can pick up the game pretty quick. And there's this hope. Yeah, and we've seen years where four or five rookie running backs emerge as last year. Right? Last year you had four or five rookie running backs that emerged as serious, serious skilled players. And and I'm just going to rattle off a few more names because this is important. Ronald Jones Jr., major drop. Sony Michel, massive, massive drop in ADP.
Yeah, but he still might play in week one, and I think he's now a value. I mean, he was going in the fourth, fifth round. Now you could probably get him in somewhere between the sixth and eighth. I'm taking him still.
Stashing him on my bench, but I'm not counting on this guy. I'm not taking him as a starter. This is when I see these guys drop. I'm happy to stash all these guys on my bench because we don't know what's going to be 4 weeks in.
Should we talk about the precipitous fall of Rashard Penny?
I mean, Penny's the almost the worst of them. Not just the broken finger situation right now, but just the fact that some JAG, UDFA on his team, and Chris Carson, A, has been running the plays ahead of him, in the preseason played with the first, and now it looks like he's the starter.
You and I have had this. I don't know why you and I have had this argument since.
We did because I'm like bullshit. I'm bullshit. They're not going to sit the. I'm optimistic.
No, and I meant specifically about Carson, and not just I told you to take him seriously. But I think he's actually good. He played two games or a couple games last year, and he was tearing shit up, man. Chris Carson's good now. I don't know what the hell Seattle was thinking when they took a running back in the first round. They have so many needs on that team. So you would think just by they took him in the first round, he's going to play. But it could be one of those things where it's just a committee. But Chris Carson's certainly going to start the year. I mean, Chris Carson's moving up, probably too much for me to take him at this point. I see him going in like the end of the sixth, beginning of the seventh. I'm not touching him there. But in the double-digit rounds, Chris Carson's still a great pick.
I mean, I got to tell you. And this is what's difficult. This is why like a Doug Peterson, the Rams, these Sean McVay, these innovative coaches and GM combinations that are really thinking about stuff. And I have a problem with some of these old school guys because why the fuck are they taking a first round running back if Chris Carson is so good? This is my point. I like to look at their actions, but I've seen this sort of pattern out of Seattle in particular. For a long time, we've seen them take refuse to get a normal-sized wide receiver on this team. And you're like, why? Why do you keep drafting Paul Richardson's and Tyler Lockett? Like, why is every wide receiver on your team weigh 180 pounds? Why? Why are you doing this? Why do you refuse to give this man a target?
Well, they try. I mean, they still have Brandon Marshall. I know you don't like Brandon Marshall, but if he's a big body that's still there, I mean, you know, he's
Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall's head has been in doing Inside the NFL, studying for his TV show. He hasn't been paying attention to football for multiple years. He's not a guy that you want on your team.
If he makes the team, I think that there's and you want to just take a dart. He's not a bad dart at the end of your draft. I think he'll have value at some point if he makes the team. Hey, I got a question because we've talked about Dez Bryant to Seattle. Let's just say that doesn't happen. And if Alshon goes on PUP, let's just make that assumption for a second, even though it's far from an assumption. Do you think Dez Bryant to the Eagles, does he become interesting to you?
Yes. I think that's a great landing spot for Dez. A great
even
for
this
Dez.
Late. This late into the preseason?
Yeah, I don't think that it takes that much time for a veteran wide receiver. I mean, for them to run out a package of plays for the guy. I don't think that means he's going to be studly. I think it, for the most part, wide receivers, quarterbacks take quite a bit of time to get super comfortable with one another. So it's not like, oh, Dez is going to be a second rounder now. But you put me.
Well, where would you take him? Where do you think that you, in a draft, 12-team draft, let's just say, you know, forget position for a second. Where do you see Dez falling in if he lands on the Eagles?
I'm not going to say I'm going to say WR50 as opposed to a 45 to 50, not as a starter on your team.
Okay, so you said that if you're looking at him as like the 50th wide receiver, you're talking about 12th to 14th round. Somebody will take him before that.
I'll tell you the range of players that I would mix him up with. Okay? I would put him in the group with Jordy Nelson, Sterling Shepard, Robert Woods, Funchess.
Woods, Funchess, a couple of those guys you named are going in like the seventh or eighth round. Those got to be like the
this is more like WR40 as I'm looking at the numbers. Yeah,
50 is really deep.
50, you're getting into Kelvin Benjamin range. I would say WR40, the Cooper, you know, again, the Rams wide receivers where you have three guys unclear, you know, the Funchesses, the Jamie Crowders, the that group just behind, like, you know, I'd put it like this. I'm taking Robby Anderson and Pierre Garçon ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, Robby Anderson, I think, is another riser. You and I have talked about him on a few podcasts. I think he's a future star. Robby Anderson, I, I'm giving anyone that I'm advising permission to pull the trigger in the seventh round on Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm taking him ahead. He's one of my he's also one of the players that I have like significantly undervalued. I'll give you another undervalued running back. My favorite undervalued running back on the season, which is my boy Isaiah Crowell, and I talk about him all the time.
Yeah.
He's so undervalued.
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly undervalued. He was running well. That you watched the preseason game, you saw he run. So, I was watching with my wife, and she actually noticed that he puts his head down in spears when he's running. He's such a violent, intense runner, which you love, but he puts himself really at risk with any run. And he got a, I mean, he was being evaluated for concussion after his second run. I mean, he was a beast. He caught that little pass. He twisted. He spun. He jumped into the end zone. So I think you're spot on. I'm just really scared about his running style as far as exposing himself to injury.
But again, I want to pat myself on the back in the sense that
– beautiful. I would give you the pat.
I'm talking about this before that game and before the – and in best ball and all of that months ago. I don't understand – why a guy who is the starting running – now, I get the running style. If he gets himself hurt, hey, shit happens. I'm not a doctor. You know what I'm saying? I can't predict that. But if this guy stays healthy, he's the starting running back for a team that I don't think is going to be terrible.
Well, he didn't start. Bilal Powell started. But it looked like there was – the Jets, I think, are there's undervalued fantasy assets all over the Jets. And you were early to pinpoint Crowell as – you're like, why the hell is this guy going in the 10th round when I could start him as my second running back? So, right, it's just that he I think the reason is that he totally disappointed as an early third round pick last year on the shitty Browns team, on an 0-16 Browns team. The Jets are have a little umph this year. So,
he'll probably
move up.
Tune into Hard Knocks tonight to understand why the Browns have been such a terrible team the last couple of years, and as a franchise, but certainly the last couple of years. All you got to do
is watch.
Hugh Jackson is not a real NFL coach. He's not a real head coach. You could see he's in over his head. Greg Williams, a douchebag.
Todd Haley. What week before Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator, actually takes over the Browns? What week do you think?
I need to see a little more on Todd Haley to know that he's not a douchebag too. But
Todd Haley is the right kind of douchebag. Remember, he was the head coach of the Chiefs for a while, and he really made his name as the offensive coordinator for Ben Roethlisberger.
I remember, for Roethlisberger and the Steelers. I need to see him a little bit more, but I will tell you that Greg Williams is a fraud. He's got that phony bravado that I can't stand.
You remember, he was part of the bounty gate. He was the one that he was the Saints defensive coordinator and had bounties out on people.
I 100% believe that occurred. Because
it was proven. He was suspended. And Sean Payton was suspended.
His douchiness is unmatched. I hate coaches like that. There are other ones. They're phony bravado. Mike Tice was like that. They're just, you know, it's funny. Gus Bradley, we're totally off topic, but I just want to talk some football for a second. Gus Bradley was the opposite. He was so freaking soft that it was embarrassing. These guys are this phony toughness. I saw a lot of that on the old Falcons coaching staff too. You just see, I don't know what it is about Hard Knocks, but I'd love to see them put that show on with a quality coaching staff once, because we haven't seen it yet. It's always assholes.
They did it with the Rams last year. They did. The Rams was awesome. Hard Knocks.
Wait. The Rams was the Jeff Fisher one. They didn't do it last year. They did it with Jeff Fisher.
Oh, it was Tampa Bay last year, right?
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't the Rams. Right. Yeah, I would love to see the Rams.
The Rams did it right. It was all or nothing, but that was the same Jeff Fisher Rams. But you're right, though. And I don't think this is off topic. I think a lot of your listeners watch all.
I think this stuff is important, by the way. I think the coaching staff is important.
Yeah, I mean, Jarvis is getting some helium right now because of the show. I mean, everyone's watching how intense he is. He was a fifth-round pick forever, and now he's moved up to the fourth, and now I'm even seeing someone jump ahead to take him ahead of Stephon Diggs and Juju. So I think that Jarvis is one of these guys that's getting a lot of push from actually people seeing what a maniac and what an alpha dog he is.
That is a great transition over to the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. And by the way, I don't think that juice for juice is incorrect. Like, you're really seeing, But Jarvis Landry came in with a reputation. Well, he's a possession wide receiver and blah, blah, blah. Didn't catch a lot of touchdowns. Well, Gordon's here. He's going to be the main guy. Josh Gordon, he's going to command targets. Or the other thought was the conventional wisdom. My conventional wisdom was, listen, Tyrod Taylor, hasn't been a guy who throws more than 16 to 20 passes in a game. So a possession – one would think a possession wide receiver, a guy who's target dependent, wouldn't prosper under a Tyrod Taylor regime. But – the reality is we don't know how Tyrod – I like how I'm purposefully using his name, pronounce it way now.
I love – you know me. I'm a big Tyrod fan. I love him.
You've got to pronounce it Tyrod.
Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, so maybe it was the Bills. This is what I'm saying. The Browns are so fucking terrible that what if Corey Coleman is actually good?
It could be. I mean, he was a first-round pick. He was the
– you know what I'm saying? Your mind. What if he's good? Like, who was his quarterback the last 3 years that you judged him on? DeShone Kizer? Who the fuck was throwing the football for the Browns? And they had the terrible coaching staff. Like, how did you judge this guy off of Kizer? I don't get it.
Corey Coleman actually had some big games, and before he hurt his hand,
he broke his hand twice.
His hand. So it was like a fluky type of injury. Hey, you want to? You said you wanted to talk receivers, but there was a couple other big names in the QBs. Do you want to get to QBs after two, or do you want to stick with receivers?
Let's go on receivers, and then we'll jump over to QBs real quick. Okay. So, let's get back onto topic. We want risers and fallers at the wide receiver position. Give me a couple of names that you're less high on right now than you were 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so there was a particular player that I would say I would have given up on him, but you talked me into him. You made a great case for this wide receiver, and now he's just off my draft board. I crossed him off in red ink. Okay, no, this is not because of anything that you said. You made the right case. He just got injured again. It's Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
He broke his finger. He can't catch the football. I mean, there's no way that I'm taking him in the first 11 rounds. It's just not happening.
You know what's messed up? Before he broke the finger, he was going to be one of my risers. Like, shit, what about that? No. I go back to him every time.
I agree, but it just seems like with certain players, there's always something. You know, it's like, yeah, sure, broken finger is random or whatever, but it's like he can't even catch footballs right now. Every year there is something with him, and it's just – I don't know if it's a coincidence, but again, this year it's – Kenny Stills is moving up a little bit because for me, we talked about him, but Devontae Parker's pretty much scratched off. How about you? Is there anyone that's taking a cliff dive for you right now?
I mean, I'm gonna go back to I have some people that I'm way low on. I the easy one is Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, right? I mean,
I think that goes nothing. Right?
So it's easy to say that you're lower on him, but what does that mean? Like, he was going in the end of the fourth round. Where would you take him now if we were drafting tonight?
I think because of the injury history with this guy. He was going, let's say, around WR 20 to 25 level.
He was right at the end of the fourth round. He was going at like 4.10, 4.11, something like that.
Right now I've moved him down into just behind Will Fuller. Late, really as a W, kind of like a WR3.
Okay, so you're taking, if you're putting him right in the Will Fuller range, that means you're still taking him in the seventh round.
And I think there's room to go down from there. I'm still not sure that he's going to go on this pop. If they do, if this looks like, you know, that's with the mystery. Right now I'm kind of like, well, maybe he'll be okay. We don't know. He's not declared somebody who's not going to be active. If he gets the 6 week pop, I mean, he's going to drop down for me massively.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets the 6 week pop, no one's going to take him until the 10th round just as a hopeful stash. I mean, who the hell would do that? I mean,
you don't even want to carry a guy like that on your bench because what happens, you don't want to carry a spot on your bench for a guy in that range. At that point, he's dropping to, you know, Kelvin Benjamin territory. Just really, your second or third bench spot at best. And maybe
I'm not. If you don't have an IR spot, I'm not taking Alshon Jeffrey. That's up on PUP. All right, another player that has moved around the draft board a little bit, someone that has moved up for me. I'm hearing a lot of reading a lot of great blurbs, a player that I've already liked. How are you feeling about Marquise Goodwin nowadays?
I mean, I already had him. I don't think he's a starter. I don't think he's a WR. I think he's a bottom of the range WR3 at best. All right, I'll give you the range I like Marquise Goodwin in. Cooper Kupp is off the board. I'm looking at I'm considering Jordy Nelson.
You're not going to get Goodwin. Goodwin's move in competitive leagues, Marquise Goodwin is going on the 5-6 turn.
That's ridiculous. I'm not that high on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is one of those guys that's getting pushed up with blurb news that Jimmy G has been connecting with him. He did have, a nice stretch with Jimmy Garoppolo as a ton of yards, didn't score a lot of touchdowns. He's an ex-Olympian track star. He's super fast. I think the price is, he's giving price at value right now. I think he would have to fall to that 7th, 8th round for me to take him, but he's a guy that I've noticed when I clicked on ADP trends that's moved up two full rounds in the last 2 weeks.
That's interesting. I still think the biggest challenge for Goodwin is just, I think Garcon is probably the lead dog. But you know what? What if that's wrong?
I think it's probably wrong. I think that a lot of times when you bring in a new QB, remember, Garcon was brought in 2 years ago. He was this kind of 100-catch upside guy that was on the Redskins. I think he had 100 catches 1 year. But he's a little bit older now. He's coming off a major neck injury. Jimmy Garoppolo connected and built a rapport with Goodwin.
I'm 100% on board. Goodwin was great at the end of last year. I was obsessed
likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's likely that Goodwin is his number one target.
If that's the case, then he's going way too low. He should be taken. He should be moved up draft boards significantly. I have Garcon a little bit ahead of him. I have Garcon right now. Listen, I'm willing to flip. I'm not stubborn. But I have Garcon, kind of like in that Emmanuel Sanders area, so about wide receiver 30 overall.
I have Goodwin.
You have Goodwin ahead of Garcon?
Yeah, I think you got to move. You could do whatever. I would tell anyone that was taking advice from me to move Garcon out of the top 36 is not an every week starter. I just think that Jimmy G and Marquise Goodwin is his guy. I'm not saying that Pierre Garcon won't be valuable and he won't have some good weeks, but I think if you and I were making a yards bet or a fantasy points bet,
wow,
I would take Goodwin and even money with you.
Wow. That's going to make me rethink a little bit of that. I have them close, but I had Garcon just ahead of Goodwin just because of the pedigree that Garcon brings to the table. But, I was very aware of, with Garcon out, how Goodwin did as well as he did last season.
Yeah, and they brought in George Kittle, who's, I think he's hurt again.
Yeah, tight end stuff.
It's funny. Well, listen, he's going to get targets. He had a 100-yard game at the end of the season. I heard somebody today call him George Brittle. I thought that was funny because he always gets hurt. But
him and Tyler Eif hurt hanging out together on the weekends.
Very good. Hey, staying on wide receivers, somebody that you mentioned as someone to keep an eye on, but we both were in the maybe the last round. I think we got to move up. All the reports out of Chargers camp is that Tyrell Williams is the clear-cut number two wide receiver, not Mike Williams. I'm not saying that he's going to produce some intense fantasy season, but he is certainly the guy getting the snaps on the field. We saw a couple of years ago Tyrell Williams produce. Anything to that you feel that Tyrell Williams should be moved up into the 10th, 11th round?
No, I believe that you have an unnatural bias and love for Tyrell Williams that I do not share.
No, I do. I have him on my dynasty team, and
you have a love for Tyrell. I don't. I think Mike Williams is the guy. I think actually Mike Williams is somebody that is one of those guys that I think should be moving up draft boards. Not again as a starter. But Mike Williams is a guy I'm excited to draft for my bench. I know sometimes I guess these late round picks, maybe they bore people. I don't know. But
no, I think the opposite. I think people love late round picks.
I think this is where you win your league. Okay? This is, to me, we can all talk about the top guys, and they're pretty easy. But these late picks, this is where you win your league. And Mike Williams is a monster. He's 6'5" or something. He's 225 pounds. This is a large man on a team without a tight end, okay, that doesn't really have a true red zone target on the team. Now, you could say Gazelle is, you know, that, and fine, but I didn't see him doing anything last season. He had his chance. He didn't have any other wide receivers on that team. Travis Benjamin was playing ahead of him. I don't see what you're saying as being reflective of what I saw with a team with the same personnel last year. What I do think is the guy who they drafted in the top 10, the guy who is a monster, basically a tight end in a wide receiver body, a freak of nature athlete, if I want to take a shot at a guy with upside, and we also know that Keenan Allen has been hurt a couple times in his career, love, you know, if I need to dice roll something, hey, he could get hurt again. Right,
Keenan Allen did play 16 games last year.
He did, but I mean, you know, he had a lot of years where he got hurt. So I mean, we've seen him get hurt multiple years in a row. So if I want to stash somebody with the last pick, the last couple of picks in my draft, in my season long draft, this is an 11th rounder. Yeah, I like Mike Williams. I like him more than, I think his upside is higher than Tyrell. I think he's a red zone target. He's a big dude. He's got the pedigree. He's got that meh factor of people who just see his name and say, screw this. I remember this, he reminds me of Alshon Jeffrey in his second season. Now, Alshon Jeffrey obviously has, you know, had his injury issues, but Alshon Jeffrey came out of nowhere. He had, you know, he was a third round pick. It was a little different, but he plays rookie year, not a whole lot of hype going on, comes at second year, turns into a crazy stud for the Bears. And you're like, holy shit, I took him late, and he's a stud for me, and he led me to a championship.
Didn't Alshon Jeffrey have like 1,600 yards his second year? I think he had a crazy second year.
He was a guy that if you drafted him late, this is how you win fantasy football leagues. You catch the right players late. Everybody's going to have good studs up front. I look at the team and it's like, all right, maybe you did something stupid.
So it's hard not
to have good players in the first few rounds.
So if we're looking at second year wide receivers that disappointed in year one or busted in year one, I mean, you gotta, like, similar to what Alshon was a disappointment in year one, exploded in year two. What are we thinking on Corey Davis?
Corey Davis is another guy. If he could stay healthy, that team has a new coaching staff, right? They're going to be revamped. I like Tennessee this year. Corey Davis is the focus of that team. He's got all the pedigrees, he's got all the talent. He has the nagging injury thing going on, too. But if he could stay healthy, and if that nagging injury thing kind of goes away, I like Corey Davis very much. I think that he has potential to be, you know, a WR2. He's being drafted.
You got to pay the price for Corey Davis. If you definitely want him on your team, you got to take him in the fifth. If you want to try to let him fall, you could take him in the sixth.
Here's my question. Corey Davis is right now sandwiched in ADP, just after Marvin Jones, just after Chris Hogan, ahead of Sammy Watkins, Michael Crabtree, Will Fuller, Emmanuel Sanders. That's my point.
You actually, there's risk involved because you have to, with Mike Williams, with Tyrell Williams, these guys that you, I think they have just as much of a chance to produce that way, or you were talking about specifically with Mike Williams as a top wide receiver. Corey Davis, you said, has a potential to be a wide receiver too. I think he's got wide receiver one upside for sure, a top 12 wide receiver, but there's risk. In the fifth round, you're paying the price right there.
I mean, you're giving up a player. You're taking him. You want to take him over Marvin Jones Jr., who we've seen do it before? Hell no. Do you want to take him over Chris Hogan, who we know, when he's healthy, beasts with Tom Brady? You know, Tom Brady loves a certain type of wide receiver, right?
Guys that can catch, man. Guys that can catch and be security blankets. Yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
I mean, that wasn't very woke of you, but okay.
I know what you're saying. You're trying to make America great again. You're terrible. You're a horrible
human. I'm just trying to be woke, man. I don't know what's up with you. So no, he has a certain kind of wide receiver that he likes. Eric Decker's on the team, too. Just saying. All right.
Staying on Tennessee for a second. my most drafted best ball receiver is a guy that's completely – I'm kicking off my draft board, Rishard Matthews. He's got an undisclosed injury. What the hell is going on with him? No reporter can get any information. He has been one he's been a player that you could routinely, the last 3-4 years, get in the 10th round or later that just literally is an every week plug-and-play wide receiver too.
Yeah, what is his deal? What is this injury? What's going on with this guy?
Undisclosed as of today, still no report. Reporters asked him about it. He's sitting there at practice in regular clothes watching, so he's not away from the team. But right now, you can't draft him, and he's literally my most drafted wide receiver. I got him late in all of my best ball drafts. I think in like 25% to 28% exposure to him. So I'm basically crossing him off right now until I find out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, that's very odd. You know, there's a few situations like that. Let me ask you this, because I have a theory about Josh Gordon. But what's your comfort zone with Josh Gordon at this point? You know, dealing with mental issues.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Gordon, he obviously had something going on where he's trying to get help, and I've heard this talked about on a few different radio shows where they say maybe Josh Gordon's sort of medication was whatever he was doing, getting high. And now that he's forced not to to be able to medicate because his medication of choice, weed, is illegal in the NFL, he may not be the same guy. So what's my comfort zone with taking with Josh Gordon? Right now, I don't think I would even consider him until like the 7th or 8th round, which means somebody else is going to get him.
Let me tell you something. I just want to say, as a professional daily fantasy sports player.
I thought you were about to say a professional weed smoker.
I'm getting to it. I was going to say, if you took away my medicine, I think my game would suffer. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So 7th, 8th round. I mean, are you taking him in the 7th round if he falls to you?
Yes. Because he's Josh Gordon, man. You remember he had 6 games where he was the most electric player ever. Like, you know, what if he comes back?
He led the NFL in receiving over a 14-game stretch at 22 years old. I mean, that's
ridiculous.
That's Jerry Rice sort of.
Yeah,
like.
Sometimes you got to pay for past performance. No, I don't know. Gordon, I think he's got a fall.
5 years. All right. Hey, QBs, because I know we're running short on time. QBs.
All right, let's look at the QB position. Risers and fallers.
I have dropped Carson Wentz down probably around the Ben Roethlisberger range right now. If he's not even going to be ready for week one, you can't take him above like even like Stafford and Garoppolo, right? Can you? Or I mean, I know the upside's there, but
I'm definitely not taking him above Garoppolo. But
Kirk Cousins. How about Kirk Cousins?
I'm going to take Wentz over Kirk Cousins. I'm going to take Andrew Luck ahead of them.
Yeah, Luck's starting to trend up. He's looking good, yeah. Right?
So I mean. There's a few things I want. Another guy that I'm downgrading. I mean, I have an interesting approach to the QB position. If I'm not getting Deshaun Watson early, which I never do, because I have him for me as my number one overall quarterback, or I'll give him number two if we want to give old man Aaron Rodgers the nod for number one. It's one or two for me for Deshaun Watson. I'm going to call him number two.
Everybody, Russell Wilson? Where do you have Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson, I have – he's number three overall. I understand that. It's not a guy that I'm drafting. Can I say it that way? He's not a guy that I target in drafts because he has no weapons on his team.
If he's there in the 7th round, you're not going to take Russell Wilson?
I'm waiting until I'm forced to take Jimmy Garoppolo or Andrew Luck. Yeah.
All right, well, Garoppolo is like around the 10th round right now, and Luck's moving up. Luck was routinely had in the 12th, and now he's in the 9th. So that seems to be the sweet spot for QB.
I'm just going to wait until I can get Luck or Garoppolo, and I'll wait as long as I can, knowing that I have a buffer. See, this is more of a strategic approach to the draft, and I have a strategic approach that I use with the quarterbacks. And it's basically just looking at who's around. I've got some buffers. Drew Brees is still on the board. Okay, somebody's going to take him first. Great. Go for the guy who is a quarterback on a team that's a run-focused team. I'm fine with that.
The best way to describe quarterback, how it's so deep, is it's kind of like the New York City subway or the bus system. It's if you miss one, there's another one coming 5 minutes later.
I mean, are you really upset if you have to suck it up and use Philip Rivers this season? He's got no – he doesn't have a running back who can score touchdowns. He's going to throw for every touchdown on that team. How about if I have to suck it up, Pat Mahomes? Or you know a guy is a sleeper? Alex Smith. Alex Smith is moving up my board. You want to know why? Because the Redskins have no defense.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely – that. I agree with you on Alex Smith. And I think you can get Matt Ryan in like the 13th to 14th round.
Ryan – Jalen Richard just made it pretty clear that Matt Ryan's not that good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but for
Jalen Ramsey, not Richard.
Right, yeah, right. What I'm saying is for fantasy, Matt Ryan's going to give you your 17 to 19 fantasy points every week.
I don't want
week.
His 17. Fuck that guy and his 17 points. I want Pat Mahomes and the 25 points I'm going to get, or Alex Smith playing from behind every single week, running. People forget. Doing it with his legs. Doing it with his arm. Comeback mode, whenever Alex Smith has been playing from behind, he's put up points.
I just hope that he was the number two fantasy QB last year, Alex Smith. I just have a feeling he's going to go back to being the game manager, sort of conservative Alex Smith, where there's no pressure on him. Pressure on him this year. But, hey, Pat Mahomes, yeah, I think that he's a trendy upside pick for sure. I think a lot of people are looking at Pat Mahomes, but the floor is – there's floor is bad.
I don't want to take Pat Mahomes as my number one starter. I'm relying on you.
There's a lot of risk. We just haven't seen. He looked good in that one game, week 17 last year, and of course he's got the rocket arm and could run all over the place. But
I mean,
are
you crying if you have to go into the season with Jared Goff as your quarterback? He's got three wide receivers all going in the top 36.
So yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with
and
that.
And Todd Gurley catches passes. My biggest thing with Alex Smith is the game manager version of Alex Smith, A, that was under an Andy Reid regime, and Andy Reid does that. But B, and more importantly, his teams were playing from ahead. They were a defensive team, Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they were known as a very tough defense up until probably last year. They were in games. They were close, run-focused. They don't have a running back. Their only guy on the Redskins is a pass catcher, Chris Thompson.
For this exact reason, this is exactly why one QB leagues kind of bore me at this point. And you and I are in a pretty high-stakes league coming up that drafts a week from today, actually. That's a two QB league. I think that two QB league or super flex leagues are going to become the default, similar to how PPR is the default for the receivers at this point, because all these guys are in play. I mean, you know, Tyrod Taylor gets drafted in a super flex league where you could start a second quarterback. I think that's where the conversation becomes interesting. Why the hell is the most important position in all of sports the least important position in fantasy? As far as, you know, Aaron Rodgers should be a first round pick, not a fifth round or a fourth round pick, wherever he's going.
I agree. I think that will happen. It doesn't for this reason. But again, to that point, if somebody's listening to this, DFS Army, what up? And you're in a normal league, understand that when you're taking quarterback early, you're basically throwing away a draft pick. And only suckers do that. And that's the kind of people that lose their leagues. So don't be a sucker. Understand that outside of Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, every quarterback beyond those two is almost interchangeable. From Russell Wilson all the way down to names like Alex Smith. Yes, Alex, this one will score a little more. In the end, they're all within 10, 15, 20 points of each other's projection. And if you're wasting a second, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth round pick, a starting spot on your team for one of these guys, you're not going to have the depth. You'll get an injury. Something will happen. Your team's not going to be deep enough. You're starting with a massive disadvantage.
All right. And on that note also, before we wrap up, I'm doing a draft on Saturday, and I want to ask your strategy advice here, because what I found is, you know, there's a lot of people that put out rankings, you and I included, but you find out where your true rankings are is when you have a large amount of money put into a draft. And I'm doing a draft coming up on Saturday that is I'm in a 12-team league. It's full PPR. It's with a bunch of experts in the industry, and it is a $350 entry fee. So that's definitely a nice chunk of change. I have the 11th overall pick in a 12-team PPR league that has third-round reversal, meaning in the third round, I will get the it goes 1 through 12, 12 through 1, and the third round, again, is 12 through 1. Where the heck do you think I should go with that 11 and 14 pick? Right? It's 11 and 13. So I have the 11th, the 13th, and then I have the 25th overall pick. What do you think I should do?
You know, whenever it's a sharp league, it's always tricky. I believe that there is a chance, how be it slim, that DeAndre Hopkins is available.
I think there's a very good chance of that.
If DeAndre Hopkins, because the way I see round one going a lot of the time, you know, Antonio Brown, maybe right after or before Saquon Barkley, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you've got Kamara, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, and then, you know, sometimes Hopkins will go in that area, but if Hopkins can fall to you at 111, that's who I'm taking.
Well, what if the choices are Fournette or Odell Beckham?
All right, so...
And it's, let me also say, it's a three receiver plus a flex league, so you could start up to four receivers and it's full PPR.
What I'm trying to do at that point, and this is the gamble, I'm taking Odell Beckham
at pick 111
over Hunt, yes. And then I'm praying that somehow at 202, and I'm not 100% convinced that this will happen, but I need Dalvin Cook to fall to me at 202 at that point.
See, I think that could happen, and I'll tell you why. But I'm a little, and you know what? That's someone we should have talked about, and we'll talk about him. I want to start doing a few more of these because I know my head is swimming with thoughts. And I know yours are too. We're just but in our early season write-up, we talked about a little bit of concern that Latavius Murray actually looked good at the end of last year and could vulture touchdowns at the goal line. When you're taking a guy in the top, when you're taking a player in the first round, like Dalvin Cook or the very early second, you can't have someone that's vulturing. You can't, unless he's a PPR machine, like a Christian McCaffrey or someone like that. I believe, like you, I believe Dalvin Cook is going to pay off big. But I think there's more risk with him than we're talking about at pick 202.
Who else are you going to take? I mean, it really comes down to who else are you going to take? Christian McCaffrey?
Well, if I take Odell Beckham, say, at pick 1.11, let's just assume I take him there. Do I take another wide receiver? And then I know.
Who are you taking? Julio?
I was thinking McCaffrey because of the PPR upside. I mean, the coaches are talking about getting him massive workload touches. I don't believe that it's going to be as massive as they say it is. But if the guy – if Christian McCaffrey gets 85 catches, I mean, that pays the bills in PPR.
I'm taking Cook ahead of Christian McCaffrey. So if he's available, I'm taking him. If Cook is off the board and Kareem Hunt is off the board –
I would take Kareem Hunt in round one if he was there.
Yeah.
I would take him at that.
But I'm saying, at that point, if Kareem Hunt's off the board, so you're saying Fournette goes after Hunt. Listen, number one for me would be DeAndre Hopkins. Like I said, number two with that 111 spot, Odell. Beasts, both of them. Hopkins is a no-brainer. Odell, I'm kind of thinking about it. Well, Hunt, Odell, I don't know.
Okay, so let's say I get Odell Beckham or Hopkins, and then on the second one I get either Christian McCaffrey or I get Dalvin Cook. Okay, great start. Right? So, I mean, everyone has a great start in the first two rounds, right?
Yeah, it's not hard to have a bad start.
Right, it's so funny. It's like everyone, like people, you know, I heard someone goofing around saying, I got Antonio Brown and Jerick McKinnon in the first two picks when McKinnon was still a second round pick. Great start.
Yeah.
All right, so now remember, I don't have to wait at that point for the third round to come back to the end. Because it's third round reversal, I get the 26th pick. Okay, so it goes to the end of the second round. That's the 24th pick. Now, the guy who picked in the first lot has to wait till the end of the third. So who are you taking in the top of the third round if you have a running back and a receiver?
All right, so you're back on the board, top of the third round.
Pick 26.
You're looking at some running backs that look kind of sketchy. Maybe LeSean McCoy is still sitting on the board staring you in the face. Jordan Howard's off the board.
Right. I think at this point with the McKinnon news and he falls, I think Jordan Howard is probably – or he might be there. Let's just – you know, I don't think it's in, – in a full PPR, people might pass him over.
If Jordan Howard's there, that's probably the way I'm looking.
Okay, let's say the guy ahead of me takes Jordan Howard.
All right, so he's gone. Now you have to actually think about
– like, are you looking at, like, Travis Kelce there? I don't usually like to taking tight ends that early. The rest of my team suffers, but – it, what if he's the best player? If Tyreek Hill's there, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Juju, am I jumping ahead? Am I going Jarvis Landry, hoping he has a 100 catch season?
What if Mike Evans is sitting there? And Mike Evans is a guy I'm not super high on this year the whole quarterback situation, but or T.Y. Hilton.
I think Hilton in a sharp league like this is going to go in the pick 2.7, 2.10, something like that.
If Hilton's there.
Yeah, if Hilton now, if in this type of a league, man, I'm telling you. If he's there, yeah, it's not even a question.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, there we go. But at that point, no. I'm looking at – I don't mind Alex Collins. I don't mind Travis Kelce.
Collins in the early third.
It's a little early, but, you know, I actually don't mind, and you're not going to like this as much. I think I'd rather wait, but the problem is your next pick is really – you're going to have to reach because you're going to have a long wait. But, you know, I don't mind Kenyon Drake. Do you think you can get Kenyon Drake in the following round? You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to try to...
No, not in a sharp league like this. Kenyon Drake will go. He'll go some... Because remember, if I'm picking early third, I'm not picking again to late fourth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to reach a little bit. That's why I said I don't even mind Collins or Drake at that point. Because while, yes, it's clearly a slight reach... it's clearly a slight reach compared to the ADP.
Yeah, dude, this league is intense. I've done it 4 years in a row. There's an overall prize because there's multiple leagues drafting at once, and the overall prize is over $100,000. It's got that DFS feel to it.
Yeah.
So the top two teams in each of your respective 12 team leagues make this playoff run, and we could talk about the league another time. So
I mean, if you think about this, if you're a good drafter. And you put Travis Kelce in that spot. And you say, I'm putting a stud tight end on my team.
Okay.
And I don't have to worry about it.
I have Beckham. I have my running back. And now I have Kelce.
Yeah, now you just have to scramble a little bit. You got to make sure you get a second running back. I don't like scrambling for running backs late, which is one of the reasons why my preferred first two rounds has generally been running back, if you can get two studs. Like if I can
get Fournette and Cook, sure.
Yes, my chalk start. Fournette Cook or Hunt Cook or some combination of those kind of guys.
At pick 11, I'm hoping that Fournette falls. I mean, but I'm not just going to reach and take Dalvin Cook in the first round when I could take Beckham or one of the other.
I actually think Dalvin Cook's just as good as Fournette.
Yep. So if we do a podcast on Sunday. Which I hope we can work that out. I'll have the results of this, and I can cool. And it'll be cool to kind of analyze and break down what the experts are doing, and I think that'd be valuable for your listeners. And you could tell me where you think that I went wrong, where the rest of the drafters went wrong as well.
Awesome. That's all right. So let's call it right there. All the time we have. Season Long says I want to thank you for being on the podcast with me again. Always awesome talking with you.
Always, bro.
Listeners out there. Remember, if you want the best DFS advice, we got season-long advice. You can ask me questions. You can ask Season Long Says questions in our Slack group. Go to DFSArmy.com. Check it out. Check it out. We've got people. Check out the wall of wins to see what kind of results we're producing. $100,000 winners every week for the last few weeks. It's ridiculous, the results that we're putting out there. The tools that we have coming for the daily fantasy football season are completely ridiculous this year. Ownership projections, correlation matrices, things that you've never seen before. We're innovating. We're running simulations. We're moving the market in terms of how we approach daily fantasy sports. We do the same for season long. We're crushing it. So we've got the best people. We've got Season Long Says. We've got myself. We've got a team of fantasy football experts on staff to help. So check out DFSArmy.com, and we will see you back again next time with another update on fantasy draft positioning and where we're at and new changes and all those great things. So thanks for being on the show, man.
Peace. Peace and love.
All right. Take it easy.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.